Hey friends, welcome back to Witch Church. It's Mal. You're about to listen to the Witch Church live recording for the week of October 10th, 2021. But first, I just wanted to highlight, I think, a really important thing that is happening in the sky this week. And that is Saturn stationing direct. And technically, Saturn station direct last night on the eve of October 10th, but we should be kind of feeling our Aquarius house kind of loosening up a bit in the next couple days or so, because remember, Saturn was retrograde in Aquarius and is now stationing direct in Aquarius. And also, by the time Mercury stations direct on October 18th, Jupiter will also be stationing direct in Aquarius. So this house in our chart, this Aquarius house in our chart, is kind of having a rebirth. There's kind of a moment of, like, let's get going in this house again. Maybe some problems or challenges are starting to be resolved. We can even think of, like, Saturn stationing direct. An image would be like ice melting or something, you know, like the stagnation is melting in this certain area of your life. So if you have found that your Aquarius house has been causing you some challenges or issues or hurdles over the past couple months with both Saturn and Jupiter retrograde in that house, know that in the next couple weeks, again, it's almost like the ice is melting in this house. You know, something is being resolved, or you're being able to move forward in a new way. So let's do a quick review, shall we, of the rising signs and your perspective Aquarius house in your chart. And remember, this house that we're going to review for the rising signs, this is also the house where the Great Conjunction took place at 0 degrees Aquarius at the end of 2020. So, I mean, I do feel like this house in your chart is probably playing out a bigger story than you even realize right now, with that Great Conjunction initiating something in that house. And now we're maybe like, what, 10 months out from that Great Conjunction, and we just had Saturn and Jupiter sort of passing through, and we're going to see how this story unfolds. So let's start with Aquarius rising. Saturn just stationed direct in your first house, and Jupiter will station direct in your first house in a little bit here, sometime next week. So Aquarius rising, what is the first house? That is body, your body, vitality, physical energy, but also your life path. So if you've been struggling to move forward in some way, I think Saturn can really help you see the new direction and feel a little bit more motivation to move forward at this point. If there's been anything going on with, like, the body and feeling lethargic or feeling like you want to get back into some gentle movement or yoga or just grounding inside of the body, I think this would be a really good transit to, you know, start doing that again. Also, the first house can kind of be about our individual role with others. So I would say Aquarius rising, if there's been some relationship challenges or you don't know where you stand as an individual, like within a relationship, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, I could also see Saturn stationing direct in this house being really kind of like a flashlight, helping you find the way forward with some of these life path challenges. Okay. Pisces rising, Saturn just stationed direct in your 12th house. Okay, so the 12th house, we have dreams, the subconscious. We have sort of like our shadow work or our shadow sides, things that we can't necessarily see. Sometimes the 12th house is about our blind spots to our own selves. The 12th house can be a place of fear and isolation, but also like an intense place of spiritual retreat and enlightenment. So Pisces rising, if you've been in a little bit of like a hermity mood, if you will, I could actually see Saturn stationing direct in your 12th house, kind of, you know, there's no rush to come out of your hermit's cave, but I could see you kind of reemerging with some new energy. Maybe you've had to work through some things inside of your cave in the last couple months, and now you're kind of ready to start rebirthing and coming out of that cave slowly but surely. Also really acknowledge your psychological process that you've been through in the past couple months. Give yourself credit for any fears you've faced or any boundaries you've set, and really take a moment of gratitude for your own growth, and try your best to kind of see that you are moving forward, even if the external world isn't quite matching up with what you would like yet. Know that you're doing the internal work so that your external world can match up, okay? Aries rising, Saturn is stationing direct in your 11th house of friends, groups, and networks. So if you've been feeling disconnected or feeling like there's been some kind of conflict or strife or just challenge in the area of friends and networking, I think Saturn and then Jupiter stationing direct in this house is really going to help those areas of your life move forward. Don't be afraid to reach out now. Don't be afraid to make connections or circle back with old connections that were kind of failed. Like I could see maybe at the beginning of the summer, maybe you reached out to a business colleague to see if they wanted to collaborate, but they didn't email you back. Like now would be a good time to like resend that email and be like, hey, like just following up on this, like, would you like to connect? Is this a better time? You know, don't be afraid to connect and reconnect, especially if you've been feeling isolated, Aries rising. Taurus rising, Saturn and then Jupiter will be stationing direct in your 10th house of career and public image. So this is going to be some good moving forward energy in the realm of career. If you've been feeling a little bit stagnant or like you've outgrown something in your career, this could be a good time to cultivate some forward motion, you know, with this area of your life. Also, just general career challenges. Sometimes we go through a period where like a project is really stressing us out, or even like 10th house can be authority figures. So it's possible that even like your boss was having a really hard time and it was stressing you out or something along those lines. And now that Saturn is stationing direct in the 10th house of career, slowly but surely, I think as Jupiter and Mercury also will station direct, slowly but surely work is starting to fall into place and be a little bit less challenging, okay? Gemini rising, Saturn is stationing direct in your 9th house of education. So for those of you who have been in school or enrolled in school, or maybe some of you have even been taking a break from learning or maybe putting some classes on pause, Saturn and then Jupiter stationing direct in that 9th house can indicate forward movement in that realm of higher education. I don't know if there's all that many Gemini risings listening who are in grad school or trying to get like their teaching license or even taking an astrology or tarot class. I could see Saturn stationing direct in this house, kind of giving you the motivation to dig back into your studies. And for those Gemini risings who are not necessarily enrolled in a course or a class, I could see Saturn stationing direct in your ninth house kind of being about, I hope someone was just calling me. I'm not going to edit that out, but maybe you just heard my phone ring. I could see somehow Saturn stationing direct in the ninth house being about like a renewal of faith or hope. Maybe you've been feeling a little bit disconnected from your spiritual practice in some way. So it could be a really good time to kind of start a new leaf, flip a new leaf, turn over a new leaf with that Saturn stationing direct in your ninth house when it comes to your spiritual practice, maybe your morning routine, or just really you communing with your guides and ancestors, okay? Cancer rising, Saturn and then Jupiter will be stationing direct in your eighth house of shared resources and other people's money. So for the Cancer risings who may be involved in entrepreneurial endeavors, I would say if you've found that there's been a slowdown with like money and clients, that should be picking back up in the next couple weeks or so. So do be advertise yourself and kind of put yourself back out there. Money should be flowing a little bit more easily now that Saturn is stationing direct in the eighth house. For those Cancer risings who are partnered, this could also have something to do with your partner's finances. Like maybe your partner is getting a new job, or maybe your partner's finances are coming back to equilibrium in some way. The eighth house also tends to have something to do with taxes, loans, insurance, or even inheritance. So if any of those themes are starting to pop up over the next couple weeks, know that it's Saturn and Jupiter stationing direct in your eighth house, Cancer rising. Now, Leo rising, Saturn will be stationing direct in your seventh house of partnership, marriage, close relationships, business connections, clientele. The seventh house even has to do with enemies at some point too. So in general, I think Leo rising, it's not to say that your relationships have necessarily been going poorly. I actually know a lot of Leo risings who are like engaged or getting married or making further commitments to their partnership or getting more serious. So this could be actually a good sign for your partnerships to kind of carry forward or hop over any obstacles that you and your partner have been facing together. Maybe you couldn't decide on which neighborhood to move to or how to balance your combined income or something along those lines. And Saturn stationing direct in your seventh house could have something to do with moving forward on those challenges. For those Leo risings who've kind of been single or feeling a little bit isolated or lonely, I would say both Saturn and Jupiter stationing direct in your seventh house of relationships and partnerships may indicate some forward movement with maybe meeting new people, or on the flip side, maybe you're just becoming more comfortable with aloneness. Maybe it's not so much about feeling lonely, but maybe it's just more about like just kind of surrendering and being comfortable with this time, even if this is a time where it's not completely filled with romance, knowing that there's a purpose with this time and, you know, using this time to your advantage, because it's not always a bad thing to not be focusing your energy in the realm of relationships, because then we have more energy to put towards other areas of our life. And also we have more energy to put into our own personal healing and self-development, if you will. Okay, Leo rising, Virgo rising, Saturn is stationing direct in your sixth house of work, health, and daily schedule. It's interesting because I'm remembering I told one of my Virgo rising clients that it's a good time to like be your own secretary. Like if you were like the best secretary ever to yourself, like how would you schedule yourself and how would you be using your time? And is there any part of your life that kind of feels imbalanced with the way that you're using your time? And how can you grow from this and reorient your schedule so it actually makes you feel more balanced and more energized? Also, Virgo rising, if anybody has been feeling like lethargic or have been having like a health issue, like back problems or something like a chronic flare-up or something along those lines, Saturn and Jupiter stationing direct in this house could potentially indicate like something, some relief there. Or maybe like meeting a doctor or getting a new chiropractor or going to a really good acupuncture or massage session and feeling like it helps in some way. Again, could know that I'm not a medical astrologer, but that's just something that I'm kind of thinking here with Saturn stationing direct in the sixth. Okay, Libra rising, Saturn stationing direct in your fifth house of joy, pleasure, romance, and children. For Libra risings who do have children, I could see this being a time where, you know, something, some forward movement happening in your child's life. But otherwise, Libra risings, pay attention to those spaces in your life where you do kind of gain pleasure and feel creative and just feel energized and excited to live. You know, like there's something about the fifth house that it's like, ooh, this is what life is about. And it's hard to have Saturn in your fifth house right now, even though it is stationing direct. Still, Saturn in the fifth house, it can be a little bit of a boner killer, if you will. I'm stealing Jessica Lignato's phrase. She says that a lot on her podcast, but it can be a little bit of a boner killer because, again, the fifth house is like romance and pleasure, and I can see that Saturn there. It can be a little bit hard to find those moments, but hopefully with Saturn stationing direct and Jupiter stationing direct, maybe there's a sort of redefining of what pleasure really is for you and, you know, an ability to find joy in these little moments of smelling the roses. Okay, Libra rising. And you're good at stopping and smelling the roses because you are ruled by Venus. Scorpio rising. Saturn and Jupiter in Aquarius are going to be stationing direct in your fourth house of the home, ancestors, real estate, family matters, and parents. So for some Scorpio risings, if there's been any conflicts with parents or any challenges within the home, maybe even like you've been struggling to find a house that you want to rent, or maybe something has been going on in your apartment, like a mouse infestation or something, I don't know, or your roof is leaking. Saturn stationing direct in your fourth house can bring some kind of forward movement or resolution in these areas of the home and family and ancestral healing. So keep an eye out for that going forth. If for some reason your home life has just felt a little stressful lately, know that something is coming to a resolution in that area. Sagittarius rising, Saturn will be stationing direct in your third house along with Jupiter in just a little while here. So what is the third house? That is communication, the mind, writing, The ancient astrologers called the third house the house of the goddess. And the third house can have to do with like local community and neighborhoods, siblings, cousins, extended relatives, those kind of people in our lives. So fundamentally, Sagittarius rising, I would say pay attention to how your mind is moving forward. I'm thinking about the Six of Swords in the tarot, which is kind of like the new story, or the kind of feeling like, okay, I used to have this thought pattern, or I used to be really controlled by this mental pattern, but now I am sort of graduating from that. I'm like Six of Swordsing away from that pattern, and I'm entering into this new thought process or paradigm. And I think Saturn in the third, transiting the third house, could be kind of rough for just feelings of self-doubt or feeling like the mind is a little bit heavy. So I think both Saturn and Jupiter stationing direct in your third house is going to bring some relief to the area of the mind. And perhaps some Sagittarius risings are having literal challenges with their siblings or something in the neighborhood, or maybe there's been some communication difficulties or whatnot. So Saturn stationing direct in this house should be resolving slowly but surely. Maybe there's a resolution being revealed to you in this area of your life, Sagittarius rising. And lastly, Capricorn rising, Saturn will be stationing direct in your second house. And the second house is about our personal livelihood, finances, possessions, and really just what we value. It's interesting. I was talking to a Capricorn rising the other day, and they told me that they typically don't buy like their whole life they've just had kind of like hand-me-down couches and tables and just like a bunch of miscellaneous stuff in their apartment, and they finally decided like, no, I'm gonna buy like my own couch, and I'm gonna throw away all of this old shit that was given to me, and like I'm buying my own couch, and I'm like decorating my own place, and I'm gonna root into this place. And I thought to myself, I was like, oh, you know, for Capricorn rising, that is Saturn stationing direct in the second house, right? Because the second house is our possessions. So it's like, okay, I'm gonna buy my own possessions, and this thing is mine. And I could see too there being some anxiety with finances with Saturn retrograde and Jupiter retrograde in your second house. So maybe there's in the next month or so, there's some relief from that anxiety. And if you've had to take on like a new payment, maybe it's a car payment or a mortgage or whatever, health insurance, maybe somehow this kind of resolves itself and the money kind of flows to you more easily, and you kind of realize that you didn't have to worry about it as much as you thought you needed to. And just any challenges with money or finances, I could see Saturn stationing direct in this house to be fruitful over the next couple months. Okay, so that's my little mini forecast for the rising signs as Saturn stationing direct as we speak. Well, I guess he's already direct, but you get what I'm saying. And I will stop blabbing now and let y'all listen to the recording of Witch Church Live. And if you ever want to join the live, I go live on Instagram every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Central Time. So if you ever want to come to the live recording of Witch Church, come on down to Instagram. My Instagram handle is in the show notes. And I also have some space in my October schedule for some of my fall specials. I have like a Reiki tarot combo reading, and I also have like and a rest of the year astrology forecast situation. And both of these readings are under the autumn specials on my website in the book a session tab. So if you need some Samhain, Halloween, fall support, you want to feel refreshed or renewed, or you want some ideas about how to move forward, both those offerings are for you, my friends. And that's about it. So I hope you enjoy this week's sermon, and we'll talk next week. Did we survive yesterday with the triple conjunction of the sun, Mercury retrograde, and Mars all at 16 degrees Libra? I heard some like pretty interesting stories with this transit. Some pretty interesting stories. Here's the thing. Okay. Yesterday, because Mars was conjunct the sun, it's kind of like Mars had a new moon almost. And that only happens once a year. Because remember, when we have an actual new moon is when the sun and the moon are at the same degree, right? So yesterday we had the sun and Mars at the same degree. So it's almost like Mars has entered its new phase in a way. And that's interesting. That's juicy. And that only happens once a year because the sun and Mars only conjunct once a year. So we could be kind of experiencing this week maybe like almost like a crescendo of energy that might have happened like Friday, Saturday. And now that this like Mars new moon, if you will, has kind of passed and it's like now it's separating, now we kind of have the recovery of whatever was building or crescendoing in the past week. So I don't know if anybody resonates with that, but I've kind of felt the energy to be like that. Like Friday, Saturday, my energy was like, woo! And like then, and then like today, I feel like I'm like, all right, whoo, like we gotta slow it down a little bit. Because I think sometimes when we have a very active Mars, Mercury, Sun situation, even though it's in Libra, not that Libra is bad or anything, it's just that the Sun doesn't love to be in Libra. Mars doesn't love to be in Libra, and Mercury is in retrograde in Libra, right? So all three of these planets in this conjunction are a little bit crabby, a little bit tired. So we may be feeling like that as well. Amy, you said, is something going on where any and all plans or potential plans will be canceled because that is all that's going on in my life? That sounds very Mercury retrograde, Amy. And you know what? I would say when plans are canceled or things don't line up during Mercury retrograde, that's totally okay. Don't force it. Just take a step back and trust that if the plan is meant to happen, it will happen. And as of now, it's October 10th. It's 10-10. So it's a cool numerological, it's a cool numerology day. But we have 8 more days of Mercury retrograde. So if things aren't lining up right now, just hang tight for maybe another couple weeks and see what happens after that. And Fifi, you said, why doesn't the sun like to be in Libra? That's a really good question. Well, if we think about it, okay, where is the sun strongest? The sun's favorite sign to be in is Leo. And so the sun is in domicile in Leo. And the sun is exalted in Aries. And Aries and Leo are both the signs that are kind of about you and your identity, your energy, what you're cultivating in this lifetime, what makes you unique, right? And the sun as a planet, that goes with the definition of the sun, right? Because the sun is like your core energy and what you're bringing into this lifetime. So when the sun is feeling a little bit weak in Libra and also Aquarius, it's because Libra and Aquarius are kind of the signs that talk about the other, right? So Libra is my relationship to others. Aquarius is my relationship to the collective. So this is why the sun gets a little bit uncomfortable in Libra, because the sun wants to be about themselves in this, not a selfish way, but like in like a sacred way where it's like, what is my path? Like, what is my purpose? What is my core energy? And in Libra and Aquarius, the sun sometimes has a little trouble finding its way with that. So it's not to say you're doomed if you have the sun in Libra or if you have the sun in Aquarius in your own chart. It's just an interesting thing to bring into a chart reading, right? So I hope that makes at least a little bit of sense, Fifi. Laura, you said my work laptop hasn't been working all week and repair is held up by weird communication issues. Just realized this is so Mercury retrograde. Oh, totally, totally. I found that this Mercury retrograde, I think it is because it's Mercury retrograde in Libra is traveling with crabby Mars in Libra and a little bit of a crabby Sun in Libra. So I think because all three of these planets are a little bit unhappy, I'm finding that it's really a very technological, kind of technologically fucked up Mercury retrograde, let's say. A lot of miscommunications. I've had a miscommunication with someone where we just kind of had to be like, let's pause. Let's pause and let's come back in a few weeks. And actually, I felt really aligned with that decision. So I'll put that out there. It's okay if you are finding that you and someone cannot come to an understanding or cannot come to see each other's sides. It's okay to say, let's put a pause on this conversation for 2 or 3 weeks. Let's revisit this after Halloween, let's say. It's okay to do that during Mercury retrograde. We don't have to work everything out right in this moment, right? Yeah, okay. Here's my Mercury retrograde. Embarrassing. Should I even say this? Because I feel like I shouldn't even talk about this. What was it on? On Friday. So I went on a date on Friday, and my Mercury retrograde story is that they had to parallel park my car for me. Because I was having parking anxiety because I was driving downtown and I hate parallel parking and parking gives me a lot of anxiety. And they were just in the car with me and I got really nervous because I was like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm such an idiot because like I can't parallel park. And I just like couldn't do it. And they like literally got in the driver's seat and parallel parked my car for me. And I was like, okay, if that's the Mercury retrograde moment for tonight, that's funny. That's actually really funny. So again, Mercury retrograde moments are like car moments as well. Driving moments, getting lost, technological difficulties, miscommunication stuff. But something I've been communicating to Mercury too this time around is like, if snafus happen, just have them be funny. And that's been my intention this whole Mercury retrograde. Like, I'm not going to get all worked up, and I'm not going to get all mad about certain things being delayed. Like, I'm just going to laugh at it and have it be funny. So obviously the universe is delivering that that request, since like the most embarrassing parking story happened to me on Friday. Okay, Savannah, you said my partner's computer completely stopped functioning and his friend found what he thought was a good shop, and now we aren't hearing back from them after giving them a very expensive computer. That's very unfortunate. Amy, even though I know to expect it during the retrograde, I still always end up getting into a fucked up communication with someone. Yeah, totally. Quinn, you said, as soon as you said that, my video said we're having problems loading this. Oh no, okay. Well, send Reiki to the connection. So, I think it's interesting because I pulled the Fool this morning for us. Oh yeah, Heather tried to order some jewelry on Etsy and had an interesting experience. So I pulled the Fool this morning. Oh yay, Quinn, I'm glad you're back. We need your energy. We need your energy here. Okay, so I pulled the Fool this morning. Don't you love this Fool? This little grandpa Fool from the Sacerdote Tarot, and I think that's funny because we were just talking about the world last week, right? We were talking about the last card in the tarot kind of leading into the first card of the tarot in a lot of ways. And hey, Laura, good to see ya. And what's interesting is that the world, the astrological correlation with the world card in the tarot is Saturn. And Saturn is stationing direct in about 10 hours or so. Saturn is stationing today. So I find that whenever an outer planet is stationing, sometimes it's best to just chill. Like, you know, don't try to push it when a planet is stationing. So if you're feeling extra tired or just a little bit lethargic or like you just need a rest day, take a rest day because Saturn is stationing. But it's interesting to have this like metaphor of the world being our card last week and now the Fool is coming to us this week. Like, Saturn is stationing. Like, we're getting this new cycle started with Saturn. And also, remember, yesterday we had that kind of Mars new moon as Mars conjunct the Sun, right? And that only happens once a year. So, isn't this world so great? I love the Sacerdote Tarot. Like, I really do. Like, this might be a new, like, top favorite for me. I just love the artwork here. It's a little bit, like, anime-ish, which I'm not... It's not like I'm against anime, but I'm not usually, like, attracted to that kind of art, but I just love it. So, interestingly enough... Oh, happy birthday, Quinn! You said, it's my birthday today. I do not want to do celebrating whatsoever. Oh my gosh. I could see that. I could see why you are a little bit burnt out here. Yeah, take the day. It's your birthday. You can do whatever you want. It's your solar return. Okay, yeah, so the Fool. Interestingly, yesterday in my astrology class, my teacher was talking about, he said something about, like, just the idea of having, like, a plan A and a plan B, and we were just talking about how sometimes plan Bs hold us back, and I think it got me thinking, and it kind of inspired my sermon today with like this thought of Saturn stationing direct today. We just had the new moon Mars kind of moment. Mars is rebirthed. We pulled the Fool. You know, we could kind of think about this idea of having a plan A and a plan B. And what does that mean in relation to the Fool? Because it's so funny that the Fool doesn't have a plan at all. Like, at this point in the journey of the tarot, the plan is to just go forward. The plan is to reincarnate to Earth. The plan is to just kind of let your purpose fall into place. And so there's really not the concept of plan A or plan B in the Fool. But once we kind of move forward in the tarot, we start to develop things like the ego and fear stories and anxiety and conditioning, right? We start to like meet societal expectations, and we start to realize that our parents expect certain things from us, and we start to develop these definitions of success that may or may not be helpful to us on our path, right? So I think all of these things might contribute to why we start to like, I don't know, like make these plan Bs in a weird way. Like, ooh, if that doesn't work out, I'll do this, you know? Or if my dream doesn't, if I can't fulfill my dream, then here's the safety route. If things don't work out and I'm not actually good enough or I'm not actually smart enough or whatever, here's what I'm gonna do. You know, and it's interesting to think about like times in our lives when we've had like a plan B and the energy behind that. For me, I think I definitely had like a plan B, maybe like in 2019 and even in 2020, I would say a little bit. Like, I know that I can, if like all else fails, I can pull the plug on all of this and just go get a teaching license and be a high school English teacher. Like, that could be my hypothetical plan B. But it's so interesting because the more I've like committed to just what I want to do, the more my plan B just doesn't even remotely interest me. Like, like, I don't think about my plan B as much anymore. It doesn't even really feel like I want to do it. And at this point in my life, I don't even feel like I have a plan B. Like, I just have what I want to do in front of me. And this may not be the best advice for everyone, so have discernment. And also do know that I have Jupiter in Sagittarius, so I have a very strong Jupiter, which probably allows me to just kind of do the thing and just whatever. But I think that there's something in the air right now with Saturn stationing direct. Mercury is still retrograde, but we're thinking about, I think, our level of commitment, right? Our level of commitment not only to our relationships or to our career paths or to our just paths in general, but also like our commitment to ourselves and our commitment to trusting in the universe. And I'm getting this feeling that we really have to be careful right now about having like too many, I don't want to say like comfort zones or like safety. You know what I'm seeing as I'm talking about this? I'm seeing a car, I'm like sitting in a car and I have like 10 different parking brakes. Like I'm so afraid to like park on this hill, and I'm like just pulling all of these parking brakes to make sure like I'm there rooted. And it's interesting, like if we kind of go with that weird metaphor, like do you have too many parking brakes right now? You know, like do you have too many safety zones and plans if like this thing doesn't work out? And how do those things hold you back from truly expanding in the direction that you want to expand in, right? Savannah, you said plan B definitely communicates a lack of trust. I agree. I think most plan Bs, if you really unpack the underlying energy of a plan B, it is like I don't trust myself, or I don't trust it to work out, right? Or like and you know, maybe that's not every single situation, but I think most of the time that is what it is, right? Quinn, you said, and that's what's meant for you cannot, yeah, that's what is meant for you cannot miss you. Exactly. Kara, you said, this resonates so much with my job and business. Plan B is a manifestation killer. That is what I have found for sure. Like, I don't think I fully, like, I actually can't, it's not good for my mental health, actually, to have a plan B. And I know that's really weird because that's a weird thing to say, but I just need to be like full throttle, like committed to one path and just put my everything into it and just throw myself into it, which is a very fool kind of thing. And it does fuck with me. And it brings me into the frequency of self-doubt. If I have too many plan Bs, if I have too many parking brakes on my car, right? And I have worked so hard in the past 2 or 3 years and even longer. I mean, self-doubt for me is like my evil twin. You know, I have Saturn on my sun, so I can really easily fall into that frequency of self-doubt. And oh God, like to get out of that is just, it's like clawing your way out of like this hole. But once you're out, you're like, I never want to go back to self-doubt land. Like I can't go back there. So maybe there is something about Saturn stationing direct. Maybe there is something about this Mercury retrograde. Maybe there is something about this rebirth of Mars that we had yesterday on October 9th. That's kind of like, how are you being a vehicle of your own self-doubt, right? Or like, how are you exacerbating your own fears, but with all of these alternative plan B routes? And how can you actually further commit yourself to what it is that you want to do, right? Laura, you said this is resonating a lot with my current job search. Totally. And Laura, you said full throttle. We just said that last night. Oh, good. Laura, you said Pluto on your sun is a killer too. Oh, I could see that. Yeah, Laura, you have transiting Pluto on your sun, as you know, as you painfully know. And I'm sure that can really bring up a lot of self-doubt crises, but ultimately purging us maybe from a lot of our fears that have been holding us back, right? Because Pluto transits are often like the great purge that ends up freeing us from a lot of this stuff. You know, and Jessica, you said I feel like my plan B is the only lifeline I have when I feel like this kind of despair I'm going through right now. But I do agree it's the lack of trust and doubt, and I need to think about that. Yeah, Jessica, I get that. And, you know, I want you to have discernment, Jessica, because maybe in this moment with your mental health, maybe there is something about having a plan B that is good for you in this situation. So if that's something that kind of helps you get through the day, or if that's something that reassures you at this moment, I think that's okay too. I have found that in moments when I have felt like really deep depression in my life, I sometimes feel scared, and sometimes I need things to make me feel safe. So, you know, have discernment. If you're not ready to throw yourself over with the fool and just go full throttle, that's okay. Know that that moment will probably come eventually, but also we don't want to push our nervous systems beyond what they can handle in any given moment. At least that's just what I think. Quinn, the imposter syndrome has been hitting hard this past month, so I'm hoping this energy evens out. Ooh, yeah. Imposter syndrome. Maybe there is something about this Mercury retrograde in Libra. Maybe it's a little bit of, like, the imposter syndrome Mercury retrograde. Oh, I'm good. I'm glad this message is helping. And Savannah, you said, I think plan Bs can be a great tool to work out when it's really bothering us, or when where our insecurities lie. Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, what's another metaphor we could, like, if we're trying out for Cirque du Soleil, you're gonna need a bungee cord to hold you while you're doing somersaults in the air at first, right? And it's okay. You just need to know when you're gonna get rid of the bungee cord, like when you can trust yourself to be like, nope, I've done this somersault in the air 15 times, and my partner has caught me 100% of the time. Like, I'm safe to not do this trick with the bungee cord, right? which I feel like the fool is kind of like a Cirque du Soleil kind of thing. Laura, I was thinking that too. Sometimes plan B is a good place to start when you need to take care of a psychological need before a spiritual need. Yeah. I think, too, we have to realize what I've realized, too, in, like, certain moments of my own nervous system deregulation is, like, sometimes it's almost, like, when your nervous system is, like, sending flashing signals to all over your body that is saying, like, things aren't safe, and, like, you know, you have to tend to that first. There's nothing, you can't just snap your fingers and get into the frequency of trust. First, the nervous system and the trauma response must be tended to before anything else, right? And I think one of the reasons I can even say, fuck the plan B, you know, fuck plan B, just go with plan A, that's also coming from my own nervous system healing, right, that I've done in the past couple years. And I would not have been able to say that in 2019. Again, in 2019, that plan B of I'm going to be a teacher and whatever, and that'll work out if this doesn't work out, that was a safety net that I needed at that time. Okay. Oh, Quinn, that makes sense then. If your Mercury is, yes, your Mercury is in Libra, right? So that makes a lot of sense to me why this Mercury retrograde would be a little spicy. But I trust in this process for you, right? And Emmy, you said, when the situation is so dire and intense, having a plan B makes me feel better, but it's an important lesson to focus sometimes, and I tend to have too many plans, big ideas. Cardinal sign problems. I get it, Emmy. My cardinal placement. See your cardinal placements. And Savannah, you said, when I first started working at a hotel, for the first time, I wore my trainee badge for like 9 months. Yeah, you know, it's fair. You know, that's fair. I get it. You know, there's just gonna, your soul knows the moment when you have to take off the trainee badge. Your soul knows when it's okay to take off the bungee cords, right? So, you know who speaks to this, like, plan A, plan B thing really well, is Rumi. So you may be familiar with the poet Rumi. And so this is a poem. It's interesting. I have this on this little piece of paper, I put this in I ripped this out of my, this is my thesis from college, and I, like, before I went to Malaysia, I ripped the poem out of this page because I had put this poem, like, in my acknowledgments of my thesis. And so, like, this little piece of paper has been with me since college, and it's been with me, like, all over the world, and I carry it with me in my purse when I feel like I need some magic. So anyways, yeah, this is one of the poems that means a lot to me by Rumi. So it's a really short one. It's called Nothing Venture, Nothing Won. And this is something I've definitely read before. I probably I think I've put it in a newsletter before, but if you ever want me to send you the picture of this scrap of paper, let me know, I can. But all right, let's take a deep breath and tune in. Okay, when you put cargo on board a ship, you make a venture on trust. For you know not whether you will be drowned or come safe to land. If you say, I will not embark until I'm certain of my fate, then you will do no trade. The secret of these two destinies is never disclosed. The faint-hearted merchant neither gains nor loses, but he loses, because one must take fire in order to get light. Since all affairs turn upon hope, surely faith is the best object of hope, and therefore you win by salvation. So, obviously, Rumi wrote in, like, ancient Arabic, and he's been translated into English. So, obviously, the translation isn't doing the poem completely justice. If we were reading it in the original language, we would feel it more. But I think, really what Rumi is, really what the poem is saying here, like, if you say, I will not embark until I am certain of my fate, you're gonna lose. You can't wait, you know, like, you can't just sit on your ship and be like, I'm not gonna leave the dock until I am 100% guaranteed that I'm gonna get where I'm gonna go. And then you're just waiting, you're waiting, and you're not getting anywhere. Because you're just in this spot of waiting that, waiting for the universe to guarantee you your fate. But it's funny because the fool kind of teaches us, right? There is no guarantee. And the only way you're going to know is if you just leave the dock and start going on your journey, right? So that's the thing, too. Like, the universe is never going to... I think the universe really supports us, and God is infinite, and I think God wants us to embark on this journey. At the same time, I don't think the universe is ever going to, like, guarantee us our path, you know, in ways, like, because we have free will, and we come to this earth with free will written into our contract, right? Like, so while we have free will as humans, while we can make choices, we will never have that, like, magical guarantee that we will be successful, you know, that's being delivered to us on a golden platter. That doesn't exist. So I would say, if we're waiting for that, fuck that. Like, you know, fuck waiting for that guarantee, because it won't actually get you anywhere. What's actually a better situation is if we just go and we kind of rely on our faith, as Rumi says here. So one more poem. I don't know why. Let me find it here. What am I looking for? Oh, okay, got it. I don't know. I just feel like reading this. I don't know why. Emmy, you said that poem really helps me release the plan B thing. I also have itineraries with backup plans. Every time I travel, I often have a panic attack when there's no plan and everyone is bored. I'm seeing my control issues today. Glad I came to church. I feel you. I feel you, Emmy. I really do with the control stuff. All right. Give me a second. I think it's number 13. Let's see. Oh, here it is. Okay, it's 14. So I'm reading The Dream Songs by John Berryman, and this is a great poem. It's number 14. So I don't know why I want to read this. It just feels right. So, life, friends, is boring. We must not say so. After all, the sky flashes, the great sea yearns, we ourselves flash and yearn, and moreover, my mother told me as a boy repeatedly, ever to confess you're bored means you have no inner resources. I conclude now I have no inner resources because I am heavy bored. People bore me, literature bores me, especially great literature. Henry bores me with his plights and gripes as bad as Achilles, who loves people and valiant art, which bores me. And the tranquil hills and gin look like a drag, and somehow a dog has taken itself and its tail considerably away into mountains or sea or sky, leaving me behind, wag. Yeah, I like that. Life, my friends, is boring. We must not say so. I feel like that's kind of a fool thing, right? The fool doesn't want to hear that life is boring. We must not say so. So that's what I got, my friends, today. What do you have today for me? What do we need to talk about? Should I pull a card for you? Do you need some prayers? Do you need some good energy, some good vibes? Let me know. I would be happy to be of service to you today. I do have to leave right at, let's say, 10:57, 58 maybe, so I can make it to my class on time. But yeah, let's chat. Also, in October and maybe beginning of November, I'm doing my fall appointment specials. So I have one that's kind of like a tarot reiki hybrid session, and then I have an end of the year astrology consultation. So if you want to come in, and if you need like a little bit of a refresher, or you want to do something for yourself with Samhain and Samhain coming up, or Halloween coming up, which is the witch's new year, step on into my office, and we can kind of chat however you want, in whatever context, whether that's tarot, reiki, or astrology, and we'll get the energy going for the rest of the year, right? Laura, could I have a card for guidance for my job search? Totally. Ooh, okay, the sun in reverse. This is interesting, Laura. I wonder if there's something that's coming to me about, like, clarity about what you are actually looking for. And maybe this has to do with the lessons of your current Mercury retrograde cycle, you know? Maybe there's something here about on the job search. How are you getting clear about your vision, or how are you getting clear about what you want? And if you are not clear about what you're searching for, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to stop searching. Maybe it's kind of about seeing what options are reflecting, what all of the options are reflecting back to you. Like, pay attention when you are looking at job listings. Like, pay attention when you kind of say, like, oh, that kind of sounds exciting. Or rather, also when you're like, oh, God, no, absolutely not. I'm not doing that. Like, really use these job listings, or even a potential interview that you'll have. Use it as a mirror so you can get a little bit more clear about what you're looking for. But sometimes also what's coming through is sometimes the only way to know is to just gain experience. And like Rumi said, like, we can't just wait for to be 100% certain about a path. Sometimes we need to just go on the path and see if it works, right? So there's more clarity that's coming in this story. Just keep taking action towards that clarity, and I think things will start to unfold. And Laura, you said, I'd love a card. Totally. Ooh, Laura, Ten of Pentacles. There we go. Oh, I love this. You know, I think right now, maybe there's a little bit of a celebration to be had, but also maybe there's a message here about coming back into balance with oneself. And maybe this is a sign for, maybe a positive sign for new job endeavors with the Ten of Pentacles. But also, how can you just create like a really safe, secure foundation for yourself? This isn't necessarily about money or material objects, but like, how can you keep working towards having that sacred space for yourself? And I think you have been doing that, and I think this card is a reflection of that. And there's Dixie standing with you as you're doing yoga. So I think there's just like kind of a celebration of the sacred space that you've been building, and like a thumbs up from the universe to just continue building this safety for yourself. So you have this like beautiful energy to grow and evolve inside of. Elevated vibes, you said, I would love some support in general for a spiritual awakening. Interesting. Elevated vibes, I'm in full agreement that you'll stay very grounded during this spiritual awakening that you're going through. And remember that a quote-unquote spiritual awakening isn't all about blowing open your third eye or getting a bunch of crystals or learning how to read cards. You know, sometimes a spiritual awakening is a lot deeper than that. It's about maybe unpacking our trauma or realizing how this thing that happened with our parents still affects us as adults. Sometimes a spiritual awakening is just like, oh, I need to take better care of myself and my body. So I'm sending you good vibes for remembering that you are human and you are on Earth and you have a body for a reason. So be grounded in this moment. And that's my advice to you. That's my support for you. And Alexandra, you said my flight got canceled and I feel out of place. Oh, that is Mercury retrograde vibes. I am in full agreement, Alexandra, that you're going to get home eventually. Know that you're going to get home eventually. And that hopefully in your extra airport time, you can do something productive. Maybe you find a funny YouTube channel or you do some good journaling or whatever. You sink into a good book. Whatever feels good to you. Jessica, I need prayers. I need some hope or insight related to my work and mental health. Thanks for anything you can offer. Totally, Jessica. I'm in full agreement, Jessica, that things are getting better for you. And that even if you can't completely see the bigger picture of the story that you're kind of going through right now, or whatever storm you're navigating, even though you can't completely see the bigger picture of this storm, I'm in full agreement that you continue to move forth, continue to put one foot in front of the other, showing yourself compassion and self-love and self-care. And if that's all you can do for yourself in one day, that's more than enough, okay? And 10 of Swords in reverse came out. So this is actually a good sign, I think. Even though the 10 of Swords tends to be a little bit of a shadowy looking card, I'm actually a big fan of the 10 of Swords because the 10 of Swords says that like a certain story is kind of, we're evolving out of a certain story. So if there's been a story about like I can't do this, or this isn't right, or I'm not capable, the 10 of Swords in reverse invites us to find the new narrative. So I'll let you kind of do what you will with that, Jessica, but there might be a new narrative to be found in this moment. And sometimes, though, when we arrive at the 10 of Swords, sometimes we do need to reach out and ask for help as well. So don't be afraid to get that extra support that you need at this time. Noelle, you said, is it natural for Saturdays to feel heavy during your Saturn return? Interesting theory, Noelle. That could be true because Saturdays are Saturn's day. And what comes to mind, Noelle, is like maybe you want to work with Saturn on Saturday. Like maybe you want to do a Saturn mantra, or maybe you want to like offer something to Saturn, or like tell Saturn in some way that even though this time is a little bit challenging for you, I'm sure, tell Saturn that you're willing to learn and commit to their lesson. And that might be a good use of Saturdays during a Saturn return. And Jessica, you said, I'm wondering if you might have some time for an appointment in the coming days, last minute, but I'll DM you. Yeah, Jessica, I might be able to Wednesday or Tuesday might be possible. So DM me and I can check my schedule here. All right, I'm glad you found that helpful, Laura. And, oh, Laura, I just found out that I'm a finalist in the job I interviewed for. Ah, yes. Okay, Everybody, send some hearts. Send some hearts to Laura's job search. Send some good vibes. I'm sending good vibes to that that final interview or whatnot. Ruth Jasmine, you said, I love a card. Absolutely. Five of Pentacles. I would say it's a good week, Ruth Jasmine, to renew your faith in yourself and in the universe. I think sometimes it's really easy for the small things to create a bigger narrative. Like sometimes the Five of Pentacles moment is us having a bad day, but then like getting a parking ticket or something, and then that parking ticket is like, oh my God, my life is over. Like, you know, and it's just a parking ticket, right? So I think with the Five of Pentacles, the invitation here is like, don't let the little inconveniences tell you a bigger story about how things aren't working out. Like a parking ticket isn't a sign that you're doomed, or a inconvenience isn't a sign that you're doomed. Just keep working with like the idea of having hope and faith and trust, which I know is difficult. These are very tough lessons for us in this lifetime, but how can you renew your faith in the universe so the little things aren't aggravating you as much? That's what's coming through. Awesome, Amy, you're so welcome. And Alexandra, you said, I would love a card. Ooh, okay, Alexandra, you got the Lovers and the King of Swords. Interesting, because the Lovers is like what others are reflecting back to us. And the King of Swords is sometimes about discernment, boundaries, or even scheduling. For some reason, the idea of scheduling is coming through, and I'm just going to trust it. So if you've been wanting to deepen your connection with someone, like schedule a time to do that. Or, you know, schedule a trip away with them. Or if you've lost contact with a good friend that you really value, schedule lunch. Like if you're feeling lonely, make room in your schedule for connection. And if there are any relationships in your life right now, whether that those be familial or platonic or romantic, if there's any like boundaries that need to be set in those relationships, or like any new boundaries in some way, I think you're also being given permission to do that as well. Okay, so something to think about in the airport, right? Elevated vibes, you said, thank you so much. That's the road I've been down. I'm taking care of my mental health and bad habits. Absolutely, elevated vibes. Laura, you said, when Saturn was on my sun, I told him all of the things I accomplished and asked him to show me the next steps. There we go. Yeah. Saturn's not always bad, my friends. And Ruth Jasmine, you said it makes a lot of sense. Thank you. You're so welcome. And Erin, you said, I would also love a card if there's time. Absolutely. This is kind of exciting with the tarot students here asking for cards, putting your teacher to the test. Erin, they're a little, there's something here. I don't know what wants to come out for you yet. There we go. Okay. Nine of Swords. Okay. So don't panic. Don't panic. The Nine of Swords is sometimes when we get caught, I think, in like a negative thought loop. And sometimes my advice for the Nine of Swords if we're kind of being faced with like a repetitive worry or a repetitive anxiety or a repetitive, even like an obsession or just like a, oh, I don't know what to do, and just kind of feeling almost stagnated inside of our own overthinking, because sometimes we get trapped in that. There are a couple things we can do. I would say it would be a really great week to just get back into your body, like even starting the morning off with like some light stretching and asking, like putting a hand on your heart and like asking like yourself, like, what do you want to eat for breakfast? Like, I know that sounds weird, but like really just connecting with like the way your body feels and tuning in a little bit more to your physical space. And I think that's going to help you kind of break free a little bit from the overthinking trap. And once we're back in the body a little bit, then we can actually like make a decision and start making choices. Because I was just watching, does anybody watch Sex Education on Netflix? It's a really good show. And there was something on that show last night. One of the characters said, if there's no change, there's no change. You know, like it's almost like a play on, like, if you do the same thing and expect a different result, you know, like, if there's no change, there's no change. So once you get back into your body a little bit, Erin, I think there's going to be maybe some new ideas or a fresh perspective about how to shift your actions. So maybe you can start slowly but surely getting to a place where you feel like you're going to launch yourself into the change that you may desire. So that's what we got today, my friends. Actually, we're right on time to end at 10:57 so I can make it to my class on time. You guys are awesome. I value your energy so much. And thank you for spending your Sunday with me, a little bit of your Sunday with me. And it's always so great to connect with all of you. And and I'm just feeling thankful for y'all. So thanks for coming to Witch Church, and we will talk next week.